your working power, the precious blood of the Lamb. Well, there is power, power, wonder working power, the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood. Oh, let's sing it again. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, yes, there is. Yes, there is. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? How many of you enjoyed church here last night? How many of you got band-aids all over you? Oh, yes, we do. But isn't the word of the Lord wonderful? Do you appreciate what God's speaking to us in this hour? Isn't God good to us, church? Oh, you can beat that. Give him a real good hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're so glad to be back in church again this morning. God is going to give us another menu today that we're just going to absolutely love. He never gives us a bad menu, does he? But we just get to eat from his table and he just pours his precious word on us and we just absorb it and we become better people by doing that. Now, what's wrong with that program? Not a thing wrong with that program, is there? Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church this morning. Oh, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Yes, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your burden? Somebody say praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to let you be seated for just a bit this morning while we look at our prayer request. Several things. Brother Daniel, if you'd get ready this morning to come and take us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of our request. Brother Daniel is doing remarkably well from that shoulder replacement. And the Lord is just bringing him along. And I noticed Sister Linda, his wife, was able to be in service last night, been suffering from shingles. So we just thank God for his healing touch. Aren't you glad for the healing touch of the Lord? Aren't you glad for what he's done for you? Aren't you glad for what he's going to do for you? Praise the Lord. We're just serving a wonderful risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother Amos sends us in this morning to have prayer for the healing of a sister, Lori, from Manitoba, Canada. She's fighting cancer. She streams our services. According to the doctors, they gave her up to die about 3 years ago. And the Lord is just keeping her alive. And she is just in heaven enjoying these services. And we just thank the Lord for that. We want to just pray that God would have his perfect divine will in Sister Lori's case. Whatever he chooses for her, it's going to be the right decision. We believe that, don't we? Amen. Brother Jerry Glenn he gave an awesome testimony last night, infection free. He wants to thank the Lord for that. He's going to be having cataract surgery on Wednesday. He's just asking that the Lord would be gracious to him and bring him through that. Brother Jerry, we just commit you to the Lord, buddy. We know he's going to take care of you. Want to please pray for Sister Elizabeth Collins. She was bleeding internally during the night and had to have a unit of blood. If the bleeding doesn't stop, the doctors will have to go in and put packing around the area where she is bleeding. So they're asking that we would remember that prayer request. We just commit her to the Lord. Sister Collins, just a precious sister. We want to just commit her unto the Lord this morning. Unspoken prayer request for Angie Brown. The Lord knows all about that need. We just commit it unto the Lord. Brother Baker sends us in to please have prayer for Jonathan Baker, who has been very sick with a sinus infection. Also pray for Sister Christine Baker, who has been having a sinus problem also. So let's remember those needs this morning. I want to pray for Sister Barbara Gravely, who is suffering with an abscessed infected tooth. We just commit her to the Lord. Also want to remember Brother Burt Gravely, who is having pain in his back. So let's remember those folks as we pray today that the Lord would be mindful. Brother Moyer sends this in to please remember me in prayer for healing touch in my body. The Lord knows all about it. It's mostly in his lower back area. Also, he has an unspoken prayer request. We just commit it unto the Lord. Brother Eddie Hogue sends this in. I would like to be remembered in your prayers. Been having a lot of trouble with sciatic nerves in my leg. We just commit him unto the Lord. He says, I really appreciate you folks. And being able to stream the services, what a tremendous blessing they are. May God bless you. So we just commit that need unto the Lord this morning. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have needs. I know there's many needs among us in our assembly today. And we certainly want to remember those that are sick in our local assembly, that the Lord would be mindful of them, be gracious to them, let them receive their healing, whether it be in physical pain, whatever the issues are, God's bigger than their troubles. We believe that, don't we? He's bigger than all of our problems. Do you believe that? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say glory. Somebody say amen right then. Let's stand to our feet. Brother Daniel, we love you, buddy. We appreciate you. We love Brother Daniel Nunley, don't we? God bless our brother.
Amen. It's good to be back in God's house. Amen. After that service last night. You think, well, can it get any better? But every service gets better. Amen. You know, another prayer request, Brother Donnie was talking about the internet last night, how that the devil is trying to fight. I believe we need to take it back by force this morning. Amen. Sing out that spirit. You know, God can clear up the airways. Amen. Whatever it's causing or whoever it's causing, I believe he can take care of it. Amen. And I want to thank everyone for the cards, the fruit baskets, different things while I was recovering from my shoulder surgery. Been a little bit over 3 weeks, and I can move and wave a little bit, and it's getting better every day. Amen. Let's pray over these needs this morning. Heavenly Father, I just want to say I love you this morning, Jesus. Just want to say how much you mean to me. Well, how you kept me when I couldn't keep myself. Knowing, God, that every need that we have, every problem that we have, God, you are more than able to take care of them. God, this morning as we bring up petitions, our requests before your throne, we know that each one of them is important. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you'll send forth your hand, that you'll heal, deliver, save, And oh God, those over there in there, wherever they may be, I pray that you answer their prayers this morning. God, we pray that you clear up our internet. God, that this program will go forth this morning. God, we pray for our pastor, Brother Dine. Lord, that you'll continue to bless him. Help us, oh God, that we'll be able to receive the things that you present before us. God, we commit this service fully into your hands. In Jesus' name, we'll give you the praise. Amen.
And we want to just say thank the Lord for the rain. Amen. Thank the Lord for the rain. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us in the service today, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that would be streaming, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Could we give our streamers a nice hand clap this morning, if you would? Amen. We want to make them feel as though they're right here. And I know this service is a blessing to a lot of folks around the world. So may God bless those that are streaming this service today. Brother West wants to make this announcement for him. There will be no teen young adult Bible study on this coming Monday. It has been postponed this week. Listen for further announcements, and we'll be doing that as time goes by when that service will be available again. But not this coming Monday. There will be no young adult meeting. That's tomorrow night, I reckon, Brother West. So we'll make announcements about that. Now, you ready to worship the Lord?
Amen.
Are you going to worship the Lord?
Amen.
You be a cheerleader on your bench, will you? You take charge of your bench. You be the cheerleader for your bench. Ever who's on your bench? Now, this front row ain't got a whole lot to work with this morning. But I ought to know better to say that with them two on the front row. I don't have to worry about Brother Reese saying anything. Oh, it's good to be a Christian, isn't it? Are you glad you love the Lord? Are you glad He saved you? Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing Old Time Power, key of F, Brother Larry. Praise the Lord. Old Time Power. You know what? A lot of folks make fun of that old time power. Brother Wayne Phillips played me just a little clip of a service that took place over in the fellowship hall when it was a church of his daddy, his grandfather, Brother Jerry's father, preaching. And this was in like early 70s. But if I ever heard a man that believed the message and was preaching the message in the 70s, it was Ed Phillips. He believed the old time power, the old time way. I'm going to tell you something. It's still good today. It's still real today. We've got a lot of times, we got fancy, and we got updated, and we got progressive. But I'm going to tell you something. The old time power is still real. The old time Holy Ghost is still real. Running the aisles is still real. Shouting into the presence of the Lord is still real. Somebody say glory. Well, let's sing a song. Oh Lord, send the power just now. Oh Lord, send the power just now. Oh Lord, send the power just now and baptize everyone. Yes, now, oh Lord, send the power just now. One. Amen. Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's sing a little song this morning. We're going to have a couple of specials. I know Brother Joel Yance has got a song. If he'll come onto the platform, Sister Tamika Brown does a song. She hadn't had a chance to practice it, but she's going to practice it on us this morning. If she's here, Sister Tamika here. She is here. Sister Tamika, Mercy Said No. That's your song. That's your signature song. And I want you to come on the platform and get ready to sing after Brother Joel. We'll let you practice that on us, and we won't feel bad if we mess you up. I promise you that. But let's sing a song this morning. You know, we're all gathered here this morning. Your car could have went to a lot of different parking lots this morning. You had the choice to park it in this parking lot. You had that choice. But you know what? A long time ago, somebody else made that choice for you. You knew where to come to. You knew where to get fresh manna. And I'm not saying Happy Valley is the only church that happens at, but I'm going to tell you what. I'm so glad that my car could pull up on this hill this morning to hear the word of the Lord, to be part of a group of people that believes God's word with all of their heart. Heart preaching is right down our alley. Is that right? Correction is right down our alley. Exhortation is right down our alley. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. Amen. Let's sing this song this morning, one of the greatest songs that's ever been sung. Heard Brother Branham say on a tape one time, when I get there, I can't wait to hear Bev Shea sing this song. How great thou art. And he said that. I heard him say it on a tape. And your Brother Donnie has widened he's taken our tunnel vision away. Through the word of the Lord. The Lord has taken our tunnel vision that it's our four and no more. God's got people around this world that we don't even know about. He's got people that's going to be in glory that we've never laid eyes on. I'm looking forward to meeting every one of them. How about you? Then sings my soul. Singing to the Master. Why don't we just lift our hands to Him and sing it? Seated today.
Life is swiftly passing by. There are many things I need to do and say. And as I've often wondered if the roll is called up yonder, have I done enough for Jesus today? After all is said and done, my appointed time has come. Well, I can't beg, steal, or borrow one more tomorrow, so I'd better get ready for Jesus today. No, I can't beg, steal, or borrow one more tomorrow, so I'd better get ready for Jesus today. Well, time won't stand still for any man. You know, it seems like Father Time is on the run. Can I truly say that I've done enough today? Today would be the day my Jesus come. And if I'm turned away, there'll be no more time to pray. And I can't beg, steal, or borrow one more tomorrow, so I'd better get ready for Jesus today. No, I can't beg, steal, or borrow one more tomorrow, so I'm gonna get ready for Jesus today.
Just a child when I felt the Savior's leading. I was drawn to what I could not understand. Before the calls of Christ, I have spent my days believing that what He said will be is who I am. As I come to see the weaker side of me, I realize His grace is what I need. When sin demanded justice for my soul, mercy said, no, I'm not gonna let you go. I'm not gonna let you slip away. You don't have to be afraid. Mercy said, no, sin that he sent his son to save us. From the cross he built a bridge to set us free. Oh, but deep within our hearts, there is still a war that rages, that makes the sacrifice so hard to see. As midnight fell on crucifixion day, the light of hope seemed oh so far away. As evil tried to stop redemption's flow, mercy said no,
to come this morning. Let's sing this little chorus as he gets ready to come. Now, October is Pastor Appreciation Month. And I don't know who started that, but somebody started that as a month of thanksgiving for a pastor. And I think it was a good thing, because a church ought to be thankful for their pastor. They really should. And just let me say this in representing you this morning, we're tickled to death with ours. Amen. We're tickled to death with ours. Amen. And he's got to come out eventually, so he'll be here in a minute. He don't like stuff like this. Sister Carol, I'll just give you this card. Brother Terry, would you see that Sister Carol gets this card? You didn't know you bought this, but you did. It's just a card of appreciation from you to our pastor and Sister Carol Reagan. We certainly appreciate them, don't we? With all of our heart. Amen. We do. Let's sing that little chorus, "Our God is Awesome," as Brother Donnie gets ready to come and bring us the word of the Lord. We are a fortunate people. living in Satan's Eden, but with God's victory in our heart, we are going to get out of here. We're on our way out of here. Sure as the world. We're on our way out of here. I'm so glad about it. I'm so glad about it. Our God is awesome. Yes, He's awesome. He's awesome. And you, sir, know one thing. We love you.
To be loved, and somebody wants to know that we're loved, and to know that I'm still loved after last night. Wow. Goodness. Don't tell me God ain't a miracle worker. If I'd had a hat, I'd throw my hat out the door first thing this morning, see if it's okay for me to still come out or not. Amen. Let's turn to the Song of Solomon, if you would, today again, chapter 5, verse 1. Chapter 5, verse 1, we'll read down through verse 3. I'm coming to my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. I sleep, but my heart waketh. That comes from the groom, of course, to the bride now speaking. I speak, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. Her response now. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, we love you so much today. We thank you for everything that you mean to us, Lord. We are grateful, dear God, for salvation, for the Holy Ghost, for your word, the message of the hour. Thankful for our church. Thankful, Lord, for our families. Thankful for every trial that you and your wisdom allow to come to pass in our lives. We know that you are working on us to complete in us that which you have started. As we've assembled here today, Lord, we've come that not that we would be seen or that we would be able to see others. So fellowship with others is fine. But yet, we've come to hear from heaven. We consider ourselves a very blessed people that we would be able to assemble and know beyond a shadow of a doubt we are going to hear from heaven itself. We're not going to hear from an earthly headquarters today what some man is going to say to us, because the bishops and the overseers all agreed together and they studied the spiritual status of Happy Valley and they directed from headquarters down to the puppet pastor, and the puppet pastor will follow the rules in sync with what headquarters say. But we believe, Lord God, that we're going to hear from your headquarters, heaven, our home, our future. Speak to us today, would you, Lord, your precious word. We love you with all of our hearts. We commit the preaching and the hearing together today to the presence of God in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. I want to speak to you again this morning on what happened. What happened? Something certainly has changed. The setting is so different than what we've been looking at in chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4. What is it that has brought about such a major change in her attitude toward him? And as we mentioned last night, of course, it is one-sided. It's not him that's changed toward her. As we will see, his love is undying. It has not changed at all. Even though, in reality, you'd think it would have. We tend to measure God's love, I think, the way that we measure our own. And that is upon conditions. When people do what we like, and they get along with us, we tend to like them that much more until they cross us. And then when they cross us, then we struggle because we do not understand at all. How in the world could they cross me? I am so wonderful, so stupendous, so tremendous, so... But God is so unlike that. God loves unconditionally. And it's a love that is beyond our, I believe, our human comprehension that we need him to help us to be able to even barely start to understand it. As we open today, let us look into the church age book, and let me give you a little bit of a foundation of why that we, as the elect of God, must keep before us that we will have to fight and stand against lukewarmness and the spirit of this age that will keep us from doing as the Shulamite did to her precious Lord. We'll read in the page 15, the revelation of the church ages is the church age book. Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. But the book of Revelation shows how the Antichrist spirit would come into the church and defile it, making it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. Now, I want you to keep in mind that anything that tries to make us lukewarm, formal, and powerless is Antichrist. It makes no difference if it's a preacher. It makes no difference who it is, how long they've been around. Anything that tries to take the power of God out of our lives on a day-to-day basis, and whenever we worship and we come to the house of God, it is the spirit of Antichrist. Now, to me, the prophet sets this forth to us that we would be able to have a warning that it is the spirit of the devil, and he'll do three things in a threefold manner, and that is to make us lukewarm, formal, and powerless. And when he said we're going to look at this carefully, it says that this Laodicean church age group is lukewarm. This lukewarmness demands a penalty from God. Now, this shows how serious that being lukewarm is. Now, this has to do with the bride and the way she is relating to the groom at this time. She is now dilatory. She is lukewarm. The fervency of her heart has now cooled off some. And now she's entered into this lukewarm state. Is she still bride? Absolutely. Will she forfeit being bride because she's now in this state? Absolutely not. It is totally impossible for her to forfeit her eternal position because of elements that consist in time alone. Thank God for that. But yet, if she remains in this situation, then the Lord will have to do whatever necessary to awaken her and bring her out of this status. I'm so glad that it's that way.
But now notice when we talk about this, we will refer to it again in several places, but those who go into the lukewarm state and they stay there, these are the ones that demands a penalty from God. And he says the penalty is that they will be spewed out of his mouth. Now, for those who stay in the state of being lukewarm, they refuse to hear his voice, they refuse to recognize the moving of the hand of God in their lives, then the penalty that must be applied to their lives is that God will spew them out of his mouth, which means they will go into the tribulation period. Now, notice he said then, what is wrong with these people of the last day? They have gotten away from the word. They are no longer fervent about it. Now, they're not denying it. They're not even saying that now they're questioning the credibility of the word or the authenticity of the word, but they've just gotten cold toward it. And they've got a little bit slack and a little bit different. They're no longer fervent about it. They are lukewarm about it. Now, this is the reason why that you and I, of course, must be careful that we do everything that we can do by God's grace, that the Lord helps us as the people of God, that we watch. Even as you're married, people have to watch your marriage, and you have to make it fertile and make it fervent. It's the same way with us as the bride of Christ. Now, notice this, again, from the Church Age book. This is page 88. And it's dealing with the cycle of revival. And he says, this is under the heading of the complaint of God, Revelation 2:4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. So we are addressing not only people that this is pertinent to in that first few years of the Ephesian age, but this letter is given over the period of the entirety of the Ephesian church age. So the initial ones, they had this love, they so loved God, they was truly born again, but this is covering a span of about 120 years. So many that would come in the second and third and fourth generation, they would begin to fall away and get farther and farther away from God. Now he said, to understand this, you must realize that the Spirit is not speaking to the original saints of Ephesus alone. The message is to the entire age, which lasted about 120 years. Its message then is to all generations in that span. Now history keeps repeating itself. In the generations of Israel, we see revival in one generation, only to see the fires fading in the next. In the third generation, embers may be glowing. Oh my, listen to this now. Slightly, but in the fourth, there may be no vestige whatsoever of the original flame. Now I want you to think about where we are in this message. We are not, none of us, sitting here today in the first generation. In a few years, if the Lord tarries, there will be none of those witnesses alive, which were around Brother Branham. Many of the ministers that were there, many of them are up in years now, many of them 80s, many of them have already gone. Before too many more settings of the sun, there'll be no more ministers left that was actually there and sat under the prophet. No more preachers that actually went there and talked with him and sat there and heard him preach the word. And it'll come to where second generation ministers will become to get older and older, and they'll fade off the scene. And then we'll have younger ones that'll come and take their place. And what will their motives be? What will their objectives be? And we see the cycle of revival. Now this is inevitable that it will come, but we do not have to fit into this mold. We can actually, by the grace of God, break this cycle in our lives. But this is inevitable what will happen if we do not stand against that cycle and say, it is no farther, it is not going that way in my life. I refuse to become another tactical move by which Satan will use me to destroy the people of God. Every one of us need to have that desire. We refuse to be another statistic by which Satan can add to his own regime and make the claim that we were suitable for his purpose. So we, as the people of God, we look at this, we in reality, we face it. We don't look at it and say, well, it don't affect us, don't bother us. Now you're being very foolish when you do that. We need to look at it and realize it is inevitable. This will happen to people around this message. But let me just tell you, it ain't going to happen to me. This is going to happen to message churches. Can we say this together? It's not going to happen to ours. Now, this will be up to us, Brother Jim. It will be entirely up to us whether or not we will let this cycle come in our lives, that the first generation's on fire, the second's a little less, third's a little less, and by the fourth, there's hardly any resemblance at all of the original revival. Now, God has always allowed this to be this way. To me, this is one of the reasons why the rapture has not already happened, that God must let this cycle come through. We must not only be called initially out of that system of denominations and organizations and independent Baptists and independent Pentecostals and whatever more, because we were called, many of us were called out of the life cycle of their move. But we must also not only withstand the life cycle of their move, we must withstand the life cycle of our own. That's exactly right. Many of you saw the rottenness back yonder. You saw the rottenness of Pentecost and Baptist and whatever more. But you know what? The thing now is going to be able for us to look around and hold our head above the fanaticism that has followed this message. That's exactly right. And still be straight on our word and still be fervent about what we are doing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that right? You see the need of this, I'm sure. Now watch, he says, now history keeps repeating itself in the generations of Israel, so we know that it runs in parallel down to the church ages as well. Now he said, in the fourth there is no vestige whatsoever of the original frame, then God lights the fire again, and the same process is repeated. And the church said, it is simply the manifestation of the truth that God has no grandchildren. Salvation is not passed on by natural birth any more than there's any truth in apostolic succession. It isn't the word. You start out with truly born again believers. When the next generation comes along, they're no longer just plain Christians. They have taken a denominational name and are now Baptist, Methodist. That is exactly what they are too. They are not Christians. You have to be born of the will of God, not the will of man, to be saved. But these folks are coming together now by the will of man. I don't say that some of them aren't right with God. Not for a minute do I say that. But the original fire has died down. They are not the same anymore. Now bear with me while I do a little bit of reading here. The fervent desire to please God, the passion to know His Word, the cry for reaching out in the Spirit, all begins to fade. And instead of that, the church being on fire with the fire of God, it has cooled off and become a bit formal. A bit formal. Now he said that is what was happening back there to the Ephesians. They were getting a bit formal. The abandonment to God was dying out, and the people thought, now listen to this, the people, it was dying out from God, and notice where it's coming from, not the Holy Ghost. And the people weren't too careful about what God thought of them, as they began to be careful about what the world thought of them. So, you know, well, the world says this and the world that, and we're odd and we're different and we're really far out and strange as far as what the world. So don't you think in reality that we should maybe change a little bit about what we believe and the way we dress and all these sorts of things? And, you know, our doctrines are different. Brother Don, if you want to believe in predestination, election, if you desire to believe in the message of the hour, that's fine, but I don't feel comfortable bringing any of my friends to church. So please, would you stop reading from the quotes of Brother Branham? Would you please stop making reference to the man? If you want to just say you believe it, that's entirely up to you. But just don't do that, you know. And then it starts with one. And then by the next generation of preacher, if the Lord tarries and I go off and I die and whatever more, and y'all get another one, unless you get a younger guy, which is most generally what happens. And when you get a younger man in there, if his motive, his objective is not as pure as the original apostolic fathers, then he'll begin to cut a corner here and cut a corner there. And say, you know what? We could have a big church and we could have quite a larger church than what we've got. Brother Donnie, because of his narrow-mindedness and his ignorance concerning a lot of things, if it allowed God to be able to use wisdom, mama, wisdom, what if how many things of compromise are cloaked under the title wisdom? So really, in this generation, we have to kind of redo the message a little bit and polish it up, because nobody ain't going to hear it. Oh, yes, they will. The elect of God will always hear it. But in each generation, it will tend to get farther and farther away unless you get God-called men filled with the same Holy Ghost. Then they had the original baptism that Peter had. Even though there's 2,000 years apart between me and Peter, I'm preaching the same thing he did. 2,000 years between me and Paul, but I'm preaching the same thing that Paul preached. Hope this don't offend you, only more of it. Amen. Paul didn't have, now listen to me, Paul did not need the seals. Paul never even preached the seals. That's exactly right. The first church age never even preached the seals, never even understood them. There was no need for them to. So we are preaching things today that is even beyond what they preached because they did not need it. That's right. But with that, notice now this cycle, how that it comes along. They begin to cool off, and that's what was happening, of course, in the Ephesian age. The second generation coming on was just like Israel. They demanded a king to be like other nations. Now, parallel this of a king to a pastor. So they want the leadership in the church to be more sensible. They want him to be where it begins to become more considerate and more acceptable, because that's the spirit of this age, that we accept everybody as they are, and, you know, we don't preach separation and all that sort of thing. So they vote in a man that'll water it down a little bit more, and they'll take it down just a little bit and allow this and that and the other. They demanded a king to be like the other nations, and when they did that, they rejected God, but they did it anyway. That is the history of the church when it thinks more of conforming to the world instead of conforming to God. Now, this is what happens when the church people begin to think that way. It isn't long till you see them stop doing things they used to do and start doing things they wouldn't do initially. So what do you find? You find a change in their behavior, in their pattern of their dress, of what they're doing. So they stop doing things that initially they did. They read, they prayed, they loved God. That was on fire for God. So they stop that. Then they start doing sinful things, which initially they would not do, because now they're trading out and they are following into the cycle. Lord, I hope somebody's going to hear me today. They change their manner of dress, their attitude, their behavior. So it's not just the clothesline. If I just preach the clothesline here at the church and don't deal with attitude and behavior, I'm still not preaching the full gospel. That's right. Oh yes, you can preach clothesline till you've just got it up and down one side and down the other. But your attitude can be just as damnable as your dress. That's right. Notice then, their manner of dress, their attitudes, and their behavior, they get lax. That is what Ephesus means, relaxed or drifting. Now notice, that cycle of revival and death has never failed. So look, friend, we are in an inevitable cycle which has been ongoing for thousands of years. Now the cycle will most definitely repeat itself. But you and I have a choice of whether or not it will repeat itself in us. Now, strains can come down in families. You know how that is. We all have strains in our families. And there are certain strains that are not harmful to us, but there are certain strains that are harmful, they are destructive, and they are devastating. But just because a devastating, destructive strain would run in the Reagan family, it does not mean that I have to succumb to that and let that thing control my life. Now, naturally, I might have received a strain from the Reagans or from my mother's side, which would be Schultz. And I might have received a strain in there, but by the new birth, I believe the Spirit of God will give me the power over that strain to where that strain will not control me. Right. It's the same way with this cycle. Now, will I battle it? Sure, I'll battle it probably most of my life. But there's a difference in battling it and it controlling me. Amen. And it's the same with this cycle. Oh, we're going to destroy the cycle. No, it's inevitable. The cycle is not coming. This cycle is among us. In my view, it's been here for quite a long time, actually. But it is becoming more prevalent as we go on because the age is becoming more dark. Now, as it does as the people of God, then we must keep this in front of us. Not only the fervency of our love, the desire of our heart for Christ, but remember, as this is our garden in paradise, this is the enemy that we must watch, as Adam was told to be able to subdue the Garden of Eden. Now, either he didn't pay attention or it was dilatory, who knows exactly what it was, but the very thing he was warned against got the better of him. Now, for many of us, it will not be that we would ever walk away from this word and ever go to a denominational church out there. Absolutely not. And Satan knows that. So what he will do is bring the spirit of organization inside this message, and then he will cause organizational spirits to raise up, and they'll divide themselves, seven thunder, two soul, Perugia, this, that, the other. Very same thing happens again. And we're blasting organizations and preaching against organizations while we belong to one. Oh, goodness. Why? Because the same spirit of that organization. So, oh, where does Brother Amos stand on the seventh thing? Well, I'm not sure. Well, we won't have him preach for us then. Where does Brother so-and-so on two so? How Brother Donnie preach on? I don't know, but he don't identify with us. What's the difference in that in a Baptist or a Church of God or a Presbyterian? Y'all play tapes in your church? I don't know. I'm in there. Bless God, you're not the bride then. Because Rahab the bride was a tape church. And if you don't play tapes, you ain't the bride. Liar! You're bride by predestinated seed. So the cycle, my friends, is here. It is here. It's not only out yonder. It's here in our church. Will you allow it to get a hold of you and pull you in that cycle? Oh, my. Notice this now. My, my. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Somebody say preach, Brother Donnie.
Amen.
Thank you. I will. That cycle of life, of revival and death, has never failed. So we look at that, and we know it is inevitable that the cycle is there. But notice what happens. He said, all you have to do is recall the last move of God in the spirit when men and women dressed like Christians went to church, prayed all night, took to the street corners and weren't ashamed of the manifestation of the Spirit. Well, that's a mouthful, isn't it? Took to the street corners, weren't ashamed of the manifestation of the Spirit. They left their old dead churches, amen, and worshipped in homes or old store buildings. They had reality. Now, you call it churchanity going to church if you want to. But let me tell you something. My Bible tells me, forsake not the assembling of yourself together, and that much more as you see the day approaching. People who think they should go to church less because of the end time, you are exactly backwards. You've got your contacts in wrong side out. We shouldn't be going less. We ought to be going more. Oh my. Notice they left their old dead churches and worshiped in old homes or store buildings. They had reality, but it wasn't too long for a time until they began to get enough money to build fine new churches. They put in a choir instead of, notice this, singing unto God for themselves. Now, we're not against the choir. We have some beautiful choir singing and all that. That's wonderful. But as the pastor of this church, I never want a choir to take your place in singing and worshiping God. Amen. It should not be Brother Louie or Harry or Brother Larry or whoever more that does all the music and all the singing and all the praying, and you come back there with your arms folded. It ought to be you singing. It ought to be you worshiping. It ought to be you saying, praise the Lord. It ought to be you participating in the worship of the Lord. Amen. Notice they put a choir in instead of singing to God for themselves. They put gowns on the choir. They organized a movement and ran it by man. They soon began to read books that weren't fit to read. Well, now we can update this a little bit more modern version and say websites. or Facebook posts from gossipers and liars. Let me tell you something, friend. Y'all take accusations against people that you don't know about. Oh, they do so and so and so and so according to the Word of God. You're not supposed to do that without credible witnesses. Whenever you receive that lie into your heart, you understand what Satan is trying to do to you? He's trying to have a foundation to where you'll receive a lie against this man or that woman or whoever it is, and there's not credible proof to be able to prove such a thing, then it'll be that much easier the next time for him to bring an accusation against the Word. Because you've already compromised your standard on receiving accusations. So the next one, maybe somebody saying, well, Brother Branham belonged to the KKK. Or Brother Branham was a personal friend of Jim Jones. I want somebody to show me the proof of such falsehoods. But you see, we lower our standards. We receive a lie against this brother, and we receive a lie against that sister, and against this brother. It's only the devil trying to bait you for the bigger lie. Praise the Lord. They let down the bars and the goats came in and took over. The cry of joy was gone. The freedom of the spirit was gone. Oh, they kept on with the form, but the fire had died down and the blackness of ashes is about all that is left. Now, wonders isn't where our Shunammite is. She's not now just an espoused, betrothed girl. She's the wife of the bridegroom. They have now been married. We don't know for how long. But they have known each other in a very close way. Spent wonderful time together. He's whispered things to her. She's whispered things back to him. How they felt and how they loved each other. Which the outside world knew absolutely nothing about. She's privileged. She's called. She's chosen. And she's cold. Privileged, called, chosen, and cold. Oh my, praise the Lord. You pray for me and I'll pray for you now as we go on. Let's look again in verse 2 now of chapter 5. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh. Isn't it strange that a voice could knock? Now, she didn't say it was my beloved's hand. It was my beloved's knuckles that knocked on the door, but she says it was the voice of my beloved that was knocked. So here it is that the voice, of course, being the administration of the gospel, which the bridegroom is speaking through his gifts upon the earth. Right. Now the Holy Ghost can speak to each of you, and he so desires to. He wants to be able to say, don't do that, don't go here, you need to quit this, quit that, the other. But we all can be honest and say, for the most part, probably most of you have heard more of the voice of God from the gifted ministry than you have from thunderings and lightnings and this and that and the other. Is that true? Why? Because that is God's provided way, and it has been ever since that God instituted with shepherd and sheep. Not saying that God cannot lead you and speak to you, because he will. But yet for the most part, our greatest correction, our greatest enthusiasm, the great moments by which God has directed revelations to us have been through by the gifted voices by which God places in his own body. These are gifts from the conqueror himself. And we know that whenever Paul wrote Ephesians, that he said he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men, that he has this in mind there from the type as a conqueror that would go through, and when he would ride through the streets of Rome or wherever it was, and he would throw money from the conquered foes that he had taken. So he would throw this money and these gifts out to the people. So Paul said he conquered, he led captivity captive, and he conquered. He took those gifts which he had deposited in men's lives, and he started throwing out apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Then those gifts are your gifts. They are for you. Right. They're not for the pride or the arrogance of the man who packs them around. It is for the benefit of the body. Now notice, it is the voice of the beloved that is knocking. She's in this slumber type of a spot to where that she said, I sleep, but I do hear my heart here. So she's not fast asleep. She's not entered into the final stages we talked about last night of sleep to where that it takes quite a rap on the door to be able to awaken her. But it is the hidden man of the heart that is hearing the voice of the bridegroom. Aren't you glad you can still hear it? Now, the hidden man of the heart, his ears are always open and attentive because he does not need sleep. Now, this is, of course, your subconscious inside of you. Y'all ever heard God to deal with you in dreams and speak to you?
Amen.
Sure. God deals with me many, many times. Early this morning, before daylight, I've been troubled about a certain situation and a certain thing that I'm facing here in the next few days. And I've just been really bringing it before the Lord. Lord, just please help me. Help me to know what to do. God, please help me. So I went to bed with it on my mind last night. I woke up early this morning, so I said with it on my mind. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. While I lay there thinking and praying, I heard his voice say this, fear not, I will be with you. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I lay there for a few minutes worshiping him, praising him, went back to sleep. Now, physically, I was asleep in my body, but I was awakened. Something woke me up. So whenever I woke up at 4:12, I was just as wide awake as I am right now. And I began to think about it and pray about it. Lord, help me to know your direction, your mind. I heard his voice speak to me. It deposited that assurance that I needed, hallelujah. And when it did, then he backed off, as it were, and let me go right back to sleep because he knew I had to preach today. So I needed a little bit of rest, but God will wake me up many times. He deals with you in your own way, you know that, your own special way. But for whatever reason, it will be very, very late at night or very, very early in the morning, and the voice of God will awaken me sometimes, or sometimes I'll be awake, and while I am awake, it will actually speak to me. Now, you know, it's the subconscious, it's the first conscious, so it's divided, so even while the body is asleep, the subconscious can still hear the voice of God. Now, here she's entering into this spot, but remember, she's sitting there with the lamp beside the nightstand or on the nightstand, so she's not totally entered into this deep sphere of sleep. And in spite of all the sleepiness, in spite of all the things that's going on, keep this in mind, she's still bright. Thank God for election. Let me just stagger you with this. Your carnal mind is no more fit to serve God right now than before you ever got saved. Your carnal mind is just as much against the will of God today, Brother Jim, as it was when you was a sinner. It ain't no more in a fit state to serve God and to please God. It's a carnal mind. It never will be. When are we ever going to accept that? And realize that it is our enemy and it must be brought and kept subject to the Word of God and the headship of Christ Jesus. Oh my. Now, as soon as the inner man hears the voice of Christ speaking, it does arouse her. It does bring an alarm. Now, she's wakened to a degree, to where through the weakness of the infirmity of the flesh, that she is stirred a little bit, and she says, I sleep, but I hear the bridegroom's voice. So she came to church all weighted down, all troubled with the cares of life and this and that and the other going on. And the minister began to preach, and she began to hear things that stirred her. Maybe she shed a few tears, and she began to warm up to the presence of God, because standing right there before church, she had a real attitude. She wasn't sure she's even hanging around or not, but the Spirit of God was able to move upon her heart, and it was through the voice of the Beloved being articulated to a divine gift. The prophet likened gifts unto a needle that you'd set down on the old phonograph or record player, how that they would take that piece of the diamond and they use it for a needle, and you set it down on there, and as it began to spin around, it revealed the uncoded words which were put there in lines. Now, I've been many years ago when I recorded albums and said of 8 tracks and then CDs and all of that down in Nashville in 105 McGavick Street, one of the main places there in Nashville where they make those things. And I've been there and watched them and how they would be able to record Lord. That's absolutely amazing. They take those vinyl albums. As a matter of fact, they're making a comeback now because they say of the clarity, the crispness, the warmness of the sound. So they're coming back again. And what does it do? You set that diamond right down on top of it. It only looks like lines if you hold it up in the light. All kinds of lines around that. But actually there's words and music, violins, drums, bass, guitar, piano, all kinds of things that's inside of there. But you have to have a special tool to be able to set down on it to bring it out. So you read your Bible, you listen to tapes, which you should do it. But God places you under gifts that are able to set that arm down on that needle. And whenever they touch that record, they'll bring things out of there that you'd read the rest of your life. And it would never stick out to you. So what is that? Is it to make the preacher great? It's to make you more like Jesus Christ. It is the voice of the bridegroom sounding the things that need to be heard in this hour. Amen. Now, notice this. Even the dull slumber and sleep that she's in, the inner man hears it. Notice this in Jonah chapter 1 verse 6. We know that Jonah, of course, had got away from the perfect will of God in the sense of being rebellious, you know, and coming down there. So Jonah goes into the wrong ship. And the scripture says, so the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. So it was the voice of the shipmaster that awoke Jonah out of his slumber. And in that voice, there was a message that told him to call upon his God. Amen. Notice Romans 13:11. And that knowing the time that is now high time to awake out of our sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. So this is speaking to saved people. Verse 12, for the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Oh my goodness, let us put on the armor of light. The armor of light. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead. And Christ shall give thee light. So what is the voice saying? Open. Open. Isn't it amazing? He who could have demanded, begged. He who could have knocked the door down, knocked on it. And brothers, if you want to be a real man in your home and the real head of your home, follow Christ. Oh, sure, you can flex your muscles and you can throw all the quotes and all the scriptures out on the table and try to run your home like a military commander in a boot camp. Or you can lead the way he does. So he could have demanded. I tell you right now, you open that door, I'm going to throw you out in the yard, woman. But instead he knocked. Instead of demanding, he pleaded. Instead of knocking it down, he knocked on it. You see, Jesus isn't a selfish husband. Well, praise the Lord. Here we go again. My, my. Notice in Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and push it down. I've got a sledgehammer in my hand. I'm going to beat it in. I'm going to bash it in. If you don't want me to come in, I'm coming in anyhow. I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice, notice the knocking by the voice again. If he will hear my voice and open the door, look what it has to be. He will knock. He is a perfect gentleman. He is so polite. He will knock, but he will not force an entrance. Not only to sinners, but to Christians as well. Now, he will not grab a hold of a sinner and say, I'm saving you today. I don't care if you want to be saved or not. It don't make no difference. I'm saving you. He won't do that to a sinner. And you may be bound with something horrible in your life today, and you need a renewing, a refreshing from the presence of the Lord. No matter how much he wants to give it to you, this is where your free moral agency that you so love comes into view. This is where you must respond to that Spirit of God, that he will move upon you and put it before you, but you must say, I want it, Lord. I accept it, Lord, with all of my heart. Oh, my. Open to me please let me in. Gently. Sweetheart. Sweetheart. He says, open to me, my sister. My love, my dove. He doesn't give her hard names. Isn't that amazing? He doesn't upbraid her with unkindness. Jesus don't pout on her. I know there's no powders here today. Right. Abuse isn't always like this. He doesn't upbraid her with unkindness or call her all kinds of harsh, difficult names. Although in one sense of the word, we look at it and think she well deserved it. Oh my. But on the contrary, he studies how he can break this coldness that's got a hold of her. The unveiling of God is a powerful, powerful message. But there's a quote in it that I love that is so simple. He says, we are mortal and he knows that. We only understand as mortals. We only know as mortals. We only know as our senses will let us know. And the rest of it, we have to believe by faith. We might get so aggravated with one another, but we have to keep this in front of us. We're only mortals. And we can only understand as mortals unless God supernaturally intervenes on our behalf. So instead of bitter reproaches, he addresses her by these terms of endearment that were used when she was on fire. Oh my, when her love was absolutely consuming her. And he said, my love, my dove, my undefiled, my sister. And here he turns right around when she's least deserving of it. And he calls her the same thing. Praise be to God. You know, when your wife needs your love most, when she deserves it least. You know, when your husband needs your love most, when he deserves it least. When in reality, you'd have every right to be mad at him, to pout on him, you know, to burn his chicken, burn his fries, burn his whatever more. You know, I mean, just pout around the house and out like an old sold up old cat that's been broke their tail with a rocking chair and just don't speak and don't let on. You going to tell me that's the Holy Ghost? You're going to tell me that's the Spirit of God in you acting that way? Right, here's the way the Spirit of God acted. When a man was treated like a dog in his own house, and what did this man do, my brothers? Follow this as your example. Don't tell me how spiritual you are and how much you think you are like Christ unless you do this. I'm sorry. I'm not going to listen to you. This is the way Christ Jesus died. When he was treated like a dog, what did he do? He stood outside. He could have broke the door down. He could have demanded an entrance, but instead, he reached for terms of endearment that might break the hardness which had come between them. My sister, my love, my undefiled. Look at Mark chapter 6, verse 7. When Jesus appears to Mary, go your way, or the angel rather, tell his disciples and Peter. Terms of endearment. Peter probably thought, this is it. I mean, it's a good thing I know how to fish because my preaching days is over. I'm turning my preacher's license in. I might as well forget it. I'm done rowing now. I denied the king. I denied the whole administration move. I denied every bit of it. Oh, but Jesus and the angel both called Peter's name. What was it? A term of endearment. His own name. You know, Peter, did Peter deserve such a thing? Of course he did. In the way we looked up. But you see, friend, God knows exactly how to reach people. Sometimes we might think sternness is what they need. But God looks at them and said, no, 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 no. You do too stern. You'll push them over. You'll break them beyond that place of recognition. Call his name, Peter.
Hallelujah. Also, he says, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. Amen. Oh, I love this about her. Even in her lukewarm state, she kept her bed free from other men. We may not be where we want to be. We may not be where we ought to be. But we ain't had no lovers in our bedroom. Praise be to God. Oh my, she wasn't exactly where she needed to be with him. She was not on fire. And you can get to that spot, you're saying, well, why should I even try anyway? But look at what God has kept you from. God has kept you from the idolatry of this day. He kept her from the adultery of other men. And he could still look at her and say, you have kept yourself from adultery. You have kept yourself by my keeping power. You are undefiled. Now watch him as he pleads his case. Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew. He had been standing at the door for so long. Now remember, the dews in Palestine are very, very heavy. Almost like a light, misty rain. Remember, it's one of the prophecies of the Old Testament that God said he would give them the dews from heaven. The dews of heaven to them was almost like a light rain. It was so heavy. Where it is located on the equator and all that, and how that the moisture comes down and condenses and congeals, and it creates such a heavy dew. And here stands the Lord Jesus. He's been out there for so long. And it's not just barely damp, but the locks of his hair are dripping with droplets of moisture. Droplets of moisture because of her delay. And the longer he stood, the more dew that fell upon him. And he says, my head is filled with dew. He pleads, he begs, as if a traveler in distress. Would you please let me in? My head is wet with dew. The temperature's dropping. It's getting cool out here. Can I come in? Now, this is not somebody she doesn't know. This is not like a stranger. You know how we are about strangers. Especially in this day. You don't know where to pick anybody up or not. I mean, we all get a little bit leery, don't we? Somebody come by towards your car, you grab your wallet. I'm broke down over here, and me and my baby run out over here, and we need, God bless you, sir. I'm a sucker for that stuff. I just can't understand it. But you know what? It makes us scared. But this is not somebody she don't know. She knows who it is. It's like she... I'm just so sleepy. I can't... You ever get a phone call at like 2:15 in the morning? No? Oh, you don't know what you're missing. All of y'all that haven't got me, give me your number and I'll give you one in the morning. And somebody's in dire need of prayer. They need this or that or the other. Well, I'll tell you one thing, it takes the Spirit of God to wake you up. To help you pray. Lord, oh please, God help me. Lord Jesus, you see their need. But it's amazing how that works. The Spirit of God is always on time. It helps you. But here, because this is self-inflicted, the Spirit of God is not now supplementing her faults, but is letting her still laze and stir and laze. So she's still just struggling. Awake enough to hear his plea. My head is filled with dew, and my locks dropped. My locks with the drops of the night. What's he doing? My darling, don't you understand what I've suffered for you? These drops in my locks are because of you. Because I love you. I've suffered much for you. And now are you going to make me go get a motel room? Are you going to make me go try to find a B&B somewhere where I can spend the rest of the night? Because you're so busy. I need a place to lodge.
And this is my home, my church, and you're my wife and my people. And I bought you and I saved you. And I thought if there's any place that I could sleep, it would be in your lap. Notice this, Brother Ram said, God is a lover. God is love. God so loved the world when they were unlovable that he gave his son to make them lovable. Here it is. God wants to come down and make love to you. He's seeking, thirsting, hungering, trying to get some of your starchy hearts to make love to you as a love affair. Not a law, but a love. It's all in love. God so loved. Now watch her. She wakes up enough now, Brother Brad, to come to herself. Is that you? Jesus, is that you at the door? So listen to her response. I have put off my coat. Now the Hebrew word here actually is day clothes. I have put off my day clothes. And she put on her night clothes. I've taken off my day clothes in order to lay down. Why? Because pajamas and gowns and things like that generally aren't made out of Levi material. They're generally not made out of merino wool. So what do you want? Why do you lounge around the house with it on? Because it's soft, it's bendable, it's flexible, it's comfortable. Right? I'll tell you one thing. There's been a few times I've been put in the bed with a three-piece suit on, but the only reason it was because I was so tired I couldn't get it off. That happened in Switzerland, and Carol had to help me get in the bed and had to help me get my clothes off after the prayer line. But that's not my preferred choice. So she had removed the hardships, the difficulty, all of that of the day, and she put on the more comfortable clothes of the night. And this is one of her excuses to telling the King of eternity why she cannot get up. I've got on my gown. I've got on my pajamas. It's too much trouble for me to get up and put a robe on. What are you asking of me, Lord Jesus? You're wanting me to get up out of the bed and actually put a robe on and come and answer the door? Mom, and don't you think this is excessive? Children, I wonder if some of our excuses aren't that foolish. How flimsy are they? Well, I would go to church. I would live right. I would pray. I would read my Bible if it wasn't for this and if it wasn't for that. And if, I understand. You've took off your robe and you don't want to put it on. But if the house was on fire, would it be too much trouble then? If a thunderbolt comes to the window and sets the bed on fire, would it be too much then? What's it all about, friends? Priorities. If you get in the bed all snoozy and cozy and you hear something strange in the bed, you turn the sheets down and there's a snake laying down on the bottom of the bed. Is that too much trouble for you to get up? Most of us would walk on water or air, whatever. If we found a roach or something, my goodness, we'd head out of there. You don't believe me? Ask Brother Jim Baird. His family played a little trick on him not too long back. It was all fake, but they put some things in between his sheets. My, when he turned the sheets down, him and Sister Linda about had a revival. Ah, ah, screaming and carrying on. And it was nothing but a practical joke, but it brought out an extreme amount of emotion in the Babb family. While the other members of the Babb family was holding their sides and really laughing because of what it had done. So here she is. She is turning down now the beckoning voice of the King because it's just too much trouble. Let me demonstrate how difficult this would be. So you're laying, you know, resting. So you grab a hold of the covers. You take them off like this. You set your feet down on the bed. You reach over on the chair, get your robe, put it on. I say hard. I mean, this is where I'm at, ain't you? This is so hard. Nobody should ever ask us to do such a thing. So you put the robe on, you tie it around, and then you go, let Jesus, the King of eternity, the King of kings, the great I am, the Almighty God, you open the door and let him come into your room. That is way too much to ask. There is no sense in a God asking for such a thing. I know. I'm preaching it in such sarcasm. It's making us look so foolish. Why? Because it is foolish. The excuses that we give to our Lord. Oh my. I put off my coat. Now watch her. She says, how shall I put it on? Any child should know that. You took it off and you're wanting to know how to put it back on? Look, friends, when we become slothful and lazy, look at how distorted our sensibility is. And we make excuses or ask questions that are so foolish. Well, I took it off, but I don't know how to put it on. Really? Well, did you put it on in the first place? And then you took it off 30 minutes ago, and now you're telling me you don't know how to take it. Boy, you fell down quick, didn't you? You've lost all your mental faculties that quick. They said, what's he doing? Out of sarcasm. God is showing us how the foolishness of our excuses are. So she's using this term to suggest the apprehension of such difficulty. This is so hard, Lord Jesus. You're telling me to love those who hate me. This is so hard. How can you ask such a thing? You know what runs in my family to have a temper like a buzzsaw. You know hard-headedness and stubborn runs in my family. Why, they call us mules. We're so hard-headed. And you're asking me to forgive and be kind and love people. Lord, do you know how hard this is? And he just stands there at the door. I know you can do it. I know you can do it, sweetheart. Come on. Let me help you. I'll help you rid that stubbornness, that selfishness. I'll help you if you'll let me. Oh, my. Notice she says, oh, it's just, I've put off my coat. And despite all that, I washed my feet. Now to us, you know, this doesn't have any relevance. We have hardwood floor, we have tile, we have travertine, we have carpet, whatever more. Many of these people, of course, in that day, even if they had nice floors, there was so much dust. I've been in India and some of the parts of the world, and one of the nicest hotels I've ever stayed in my life was in India, believe it or not. It was a suite that was probably 3/4 the size of this church building. Brother Biscoe and them made the reservation. I walked in, I thought, they gave me the wrong room key. This is where I'm supposed to stay at? I said, yeah, this is your room. Well, I'm about $30-some a night. I said, you got to be kidding me. I feel like a king. Great big old marble pillars, granite on the wall, granite on the tub, granite marble everywhere, multicolored stuff. I mean, it was just an ooh and ah kind of a place. But you know what? Everywhere you look, there's dust, dirt on the floors. Why? Because dirt was all over the streets. So they tracked it right in everywhere. Dirt everywhere. So in this Eastern custom, they did not have bathhouses the way that we do today. Bathrooms had bathhouses. So they would go. So she's washed her feet. So this has actually added a little bit more to the difficulty. You know, there's dirt on her floors. And if I get up, you know what you're asking me to do? I'm going to get up and I'm going to set my feet. Now, apparently she didn't have house shoes. So I'm going to set my feet down on the floor. And I'm going to get little particles of dust all over my feet. Oh. All over that stinking body of yours. All over that thing that you love and worship. You're going to get you on you. What are you? Dust. What are you? Dirt. And you're going to get more of you on you? It was as silly as it was selfish. Friends, do you understand how God despises selfishness? He hates it. It has destroyed more people than murder. It has destroyed more people than a war's selfishness. Oh my goodness. This is just too much to ask. I mean, how could you do this to me? I thought you were a loving Savior. You're asking me to get up in the middle of the night, put my feet on this dirty floor in order to let you in. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. I guess it was too much for me to ask. But I will remind you, it was not too much of you to ask of me to condescend from the great pillar of fire to become a sinner in your place. And as a matter of fact, Jesus not only become a sinner, Jesus become a snake. Jesus became the serpent on the pole. Jesus became a serpent that he might deliver you from a snake bite. God help us. You see what it is? You see the effects of spiritual sleep, what it does to people. It sees difficulties when none exist. And out of those difficulties that do exist, the slumber of sleep makes them so much more pronounced than what they are in reality. You understand? So spiritual, this is one of the signs of spiritual sleepiness. That people just make way bigger out of it than what it is. Or they make things out of it that does not even exist. It's one of the true signs, friend, that you are spiritually in slumber. Well, I just can't do that. I can't come to church. I just can't pray. I can't do this, that, and other. Remember, it's slumber that's got a hold of you. It is the language of the sluggard. To be more careful about personal comforts and carnal things than Jesus Christ and His work. Can I have a few more minutes? We'll close. Let me read you a few statements here. Little Martha, she had been kind of dilatory. Anybody know what the word dilatory means? Okay, let me read it to you for those of you that don't. Tending to be late. Somebody who's dilatory, it's not a person who doesn't do it at all, but they're always late when they do it. Tending to be late, to show up to do something, characterized by procrastination. So a dilatory person is not an unbeliever or an infidel. It is a person who generally does it, but they miss the allotted time frame by which God has allowed them to respond. Notice the foolish virgins. They are dilatory. The voice comes out, y'all need the Holy Ghost. So they wait and they wait and they wait. Then they go and they go to ask the wise who have it. And they say, we ain't got enough to give you. You'll have to go to them to sell and buy for yourselves. And while they are gone, the bridegroom came and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage and the door was shut. So what were the foolish virgins? They were dilatory believers. They had every intention of getting filled with the Holy Ghost. They had every intention of having a life on fire with God. But they kept putting it off. And procrastinating. Next year, next month, after this is over. I'll do better after I get this semester done. After this is over, boy, I'm really going to apply myself. You've already got yourself into that style by then. You've already got yourself into that pattern, and that is the new norm. Oh, my. Listen to this now. Little Martha, she had been kind of dilatory in all things of the world. About food and making tables ready. But you know, I kind of like her now because she, as soon as she heard Jesus come, here she started to see him. Now remember, two sisters, Mary and Martha. Mary chose the spiritual things, but Martha was more concerned about cooking Jesus a good meal and making sure that Jesus had a nice place to stay. Aren't those things important? They are, unless they make you dilatory. Notice again, Martha had been very dilatory about cooking good dinners for him. Wow. And things, and not maybe paying so much attention to the spiritual, but in her heart she believed it. For she showed, I want you to listen to this statement. When she was what she was, she ran out, knelt down on her knees, she spake to the rock, and the rock in turn spoke in eternity and raised a dead man out of his grave. Praise be to God. Of course, the title of this sermon is Speak to the Rock. So Martha runs out and she speaks to the rock. And when she does, the rock speaks from eternity and raises her brother from the dead. Notice this, and I'll close with this. Luke chapter 10, verse 40. About Martha. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art very careful and troubled about many things. Notice he doesn't say any of them were sinful. But she was just troubled about many things. But one thing. Oh my goodness. If there's one person out of this service that gets this revelation right here, it'll be all worth all the labor I've done to bring this. One thing is needful. Most of us don't believe this. We do not believe one thing is needful. We believe many things are needful. One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Praise God. Well, but Brother Donnie, that's people without the Holy Ghost. I'm glad you thought that. And I'll read this one and let's stand together. Let's read this in the Blessing Prophet. Father, I pray that you'll speak to every heart here tonight and myself, Lord, for being dilatory, for many things I could have done and did not do. I confess my wrong. I confess the wrongs of this people. I confess the wrongs of this nation. And I ask you to have mercy, Lord. Brother Branham, dilatory. Again, he says, I'm ashamed of myself as a gospel minister before you. I repent before God and ask God to forgive me and the church to forgive me for being so dilatory about the work of God. By the grace of God and by the help of God. Now, everyone trying to tell me something to do this, they got a program, they got something for you to do. Nonsense. I know God's program and it's written out here in the Bible. And I'm ashamed of myself as a minister of the gospel. 1 million souls won. I ought to have 10 million souls won. I am way behind. Again, he says, we are so dilatory, Lord, so destructive to waste and to be selfish. Oh, God, just forgive us, Lord. We plead for mercy. And Happy Valley said, amen. We would not want your justice or your judgment. We want your mercy, Lord. So we pray, my, that we may be partakers of your mercy. May God help us today. Let's bow our heads if you would. Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. How many in your heart today feel like you've been dilatory about the work of God, the program of God, your walk, your family, whatever more? Sure, I raise my hands too. Lord Jesus, forgive us. You want to be a better steward of what God's given you with your time, your home, and your family. So what is dilatory? Tending to be late, procrastinating. Most of the foolish virgins, if not all of them, friends, they will plan on having the Holy Ghost. They will plan on being in the rapture. Yes, most of them evangelical people, they teach a rapture and believe in a rapture. They have every plan of being there. Yes, They do. They're going to be there. As far as they're concerned, they think they're going to be there. But they're waiting. They're putting this for in front of it and that and something else and something else. You know what's sad? There'll be message people that will fall in the same category. Oh, they plan on getting right with God. They plan on getting filled with the Holy Ghost one day. They're going to get on fire with God. But they just keep putting it off, looking for a more convenient time to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't do it, church. Don't do it. Don't be dilatory. Don't put it off and put it off. Harden not your hearts. Today is the day. Now is your time. There's no way for any of us to know. You may be standing here today, a 16-year-old boy. We may have your funeral here Tuesday night. There ain't no way for you to know how long you'll live. We want to be ready every hour. Amen. Let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, my. How somber last night and today. So much different than weekend before last and some of the services prior, Lord. But for me, it's just as much the Holy Ghost as the other. Lord God, I pray that you'd take your word and speak to our hearts. Forgive us, Lord. I repent, dear God, for any slothfulness, any sluggishness in my walk, any avenues that I'm dilatory, Lord. Help me, Lord Jesus. Forgive us, Father. We know that you are a perfect gentleman. You will knock. You will make yourself known, but you will never barge in our door. You will never take a big hammer or whatever more, get angry and take your foot and kick the door down. You'll not stand on the outside of the door and berate us and just call us horrible, filthy names. That's not the kind of person you are. Lord Jesus, you stand there and you knock and you wait and you wait. A lapse of time goes by and then you put your hand even in the door. Still, even at that, you won't gain a forceful entrance. Lord Jesus, your mercy is so great to us. How we thank you that you love us even when we're slothful. You love us even, Lord God, when we act this way. Forgive us today, I pray, Father. Help us, Lord, to be a better people. Help us, Lord Jesus. We're not going to leave here today and go to the library tomorrow or get online and find some self-help courses. How to be a better Christian for dummies. No, Lord. We're asking you. You're our help. Our help ain't in a course. Our help ain't in some book online somewhere. Our help comes from the Lord. Give us strength, Lord Jesus. Thank you for understanding we are mortals. Thank you for understanding that we are still left in this prison of mortality. This old Roman we drag around with us everywhere we go. He's chained to us. As Paul so many years ago, he would stand and preach, and the word tells us that he preached from morning till evening. And we know according to the historical writings of Paul that he was chained to this Roman soldier. So Paul wanted to raise his right hand. He had to also raise the Roman's left hand, because Paul's right hand was chained to the Roman soldier's left. Paul wanted to take the scroll and scroll down and had to use both hands to do that. He would have to take his right hand plus the Roman's left hand. Hallelujah. So he's carrying around this dead man. Paul was alive, but the Roman was still dead in sin. It was a weight. It was difficult, but he never let it stop him. He kept right on going. Never stopped him, never hindered him. It was a reproach, it was a shame for a preacher to stand in the pulpit chained to a Roman guard. But he preached the truth and preached freedom in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Lord Jesus, may we take this Roman. Hallelujah to God. This whole mortality of ours. Praise God. May we borrow his left hand as we raise our right in the presence of God. May we borrow his mouth, his eyes, his ears, his feet, Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, but one day we will do for this woman a most notable and great thing. We will lead him to a body change. Thank you, Father. Help us today, Lord Jesus, I pray. Oh, grant it, Lord. Would you just slip up your hand to the Lord and say, Lord, remember me. Remember me, Lord. Be mindful of me. Brother Donnie, I ain't worthy. Join the rest of the crowd. None of us are. I ain't either. I've been lazy. I've been slothful. Oh, I ain't run around with women. Don't smoke, drink, do none of that sort of stuff. And I feel like I've been a better person, a better servant. Oh, thank God for his mercy and love to us. To extend grace even when we're in the time of coldness. And we make our flimsy excuses. Well, it's just too hard. I just can't. People at the church don't treat me welcome. And I don't feel like Brother Donnie likes me. And I know this and that and the other. And we just make our flimsy, pitiful excuses. And yet you and your mercy still keep reaching to us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. We worship you, Jesus. Praise be to God. We bless your name this morning, Lord. As for one member of this assembly, I want to thank you for your grace when you saved me when I was just a wee boy. But I want to thank you for your grace that's been given to me time and time again. Lord, not when I needed resaving, but Lord, when I needed renewing and refreshings in your presence, Lord God. Thank you for loving me the same. For you love me the same when I'm up and when I'm down. When I'm weary. When I made up my mind, I'm just going to resign and quit preaching. What difference does it make? People going to do what they're going to do anyhow. And I just thank God I'm wasting my time. You love me then, like you love me when I preached the sermon and people have been delivered and healed and whatever more. You don't love me any different. I thank you for that, Lord. My petition is today, help me to love that way, Lord. Help me to love, Lord Jesus, when people talk about me and run me down. Lord, help us as your children to be the real children of God, not only in title and claim, but in action, to love like you love. Oh, grant it, Lord Jesus. We worship you today, Father. May we sing together, Mercy Rewrote My Life. Oh, praise be to God. Praise be to God. Maybe if you feel the Lord Jesus through the gospel, I trust you've heard the voice of the bridegroom this morning. Through a gift. I trust you've heard the gospel minister to you today. And you've heard the Lord Jesus calling. Don't make your excuse. Well, it'd be too much trouble for me to get up and put my robe on. And actually, I would get my feet dirty if I walk across that floor. I pray that you'll respond. I'm coming, Lord Jesus. I'm coming, Lord Jesus. Don't leave. I'm coming. I'm on my way, Lord. Let me grab my robe, Lord. Forget the dirt on the floor. Forget how cold it is. It's chilly. That don't matter. I'm on my way, Lord Jesus. I'm coming. Wait, wait, Lord. Don't leave. Don't leave. I'm coming, Lord. Mercy rewrote my life. Let's sing it to him now. God's mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, you did, and we're so grateful for it, Father. Oh, I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy rewrote. Everybody, let's sing it together. Praise God. Let's raise our hands while we sing it. God's mercy. It rewrote my life. Amen. If you're in need of it today, let him do it today. Mercy rewrote once again my life. Oh, I should have fallen. My soul. Thank you.
God's mercy re-roll my life. I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy re-roll my life. Sing it again. God's mercy re-rolled my life. I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but
mercy, Lord, re-rolled. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
God's mercy, here we hold.
Thank you, Lord,
my
Jesus.
Life.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. The more I surrender,
should,
the more I surrender.
My soul cast down. God's mercy.
Amen, Lord.
The more that I surrender, the lighter my load. The more that I release myself, the more you take control. Traveling down,
yes, Lord God.
No more wavering or wandering. Now I'm standing on solid ground, and I know I'm headed to my future home, and the voice I hear is yours alone. Every day that I live, Lord, I love you more. The more, the more, the more that I surrender, the lighter my load, the more that I, stepping stones to a higher plane. And those trials that seem so awesome to me are now my banners of victory. And I know I'm headed to my future home, and the voice I hear is yours alone. Every day that I live, Lord, I love.
Sing it. Y'all know this one. Amen.
Oh, the more, the more, the more that I can just surrender.
Amen.
I go when there's nobody else to turn to, and who do I turn to when nobody wants to listen, and who do I lean on when there's no foundation stable? I go to the rock. I know God is able. I go Rock. I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. I run to the mountain and the mountain set by me. When the earth all around me is sinking sand, Christ is solid. My salvation, I go to the stone that the builders rejected. I run to the mountain, and that mountain surely, surely covers me. When the earth all around me is sinking sand, solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Where do I go when there's nobody else to turn to? And who do I turn to when nobody wants to listen? And who do I lean on when there's no foundation stable? I go to the rock. I know he is able. I go to the rock. Oh. Christ is solid, solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, sing it one more time. Sing it like you believe it. Y'all believe this? Oh, I go to the rock, rock of my salvation. Oh, I run to the mountain, and that mountain stands by me. When the earth all around me is sinking sand, on Christ the solid rock I shall stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, I go to the rock.
Rock of my salvation.
Go to the stone that the elders rejected. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Christ is solid.
And Lord, I'm standing. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock.
Hallelujah.
Oh, praise God. Praise be to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, my, before we go, let me tell you, but Brother Donnie, I've been dilatory, not been where I need to be. Sounds like Martha. Believe it or not, you're Martha and Mary. You're Martha and Mary. Your soul has chose the better part. But the outside party, oh, it's up and down, all that sort of thing. But what'd she do? She come to the rock.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Lay aside the dilatory. Lay aside the laziness. She come to the rock. What the rock do? Said, get out of my face. I'll have nothing to do with you, you sorry thing. No, that's not my rock. Amen. What did he do? She spoke to the rock, and the rock answered back, and God raised her brother from the dead. Well, I don't deserve it. Of course you don't. But why don't you speak to the rock today? You got a need in your body? Why don't you speak to the rock? He can deliver you right now. He can speak healing. Do you believe it? You got sugar. You got high blood pressure. You got heart problems. Speak to the rock. Speak to the rock. Rock, you're my healer. Rock, you're my deliverer. Rock, you're my salvation. Rock, you're my Holy Ghost baptizer.
Oh,
yes,
glory!
Yes, amen! Glory. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise be to God! Blessed be the Lord!
Yes, hallelujah!
God, if you can't help me, please don't stop me. Move out of my way. Don't try to block me. I got a race to run. And I'm running by faith. If I finish in time, I'm gonna see God's face. If you can't help me, please don't stop me. Move out of my way. Don't try to block me. I got a race to run. And I'm running by faith. At the finishing line, gonna see God's face.
Come on.
If you can't help me, you know you better not stop me. Move out of my way. Don't try to block me. I got a race to run. And I'm running by faith. At the finishing line.
Sing it, Brother Joel. God bless you, brother.
If you can't help me, please don't stop me. Move out of my way. Don't try. Y'all go ahead and worship the Lord a little while. I got a race to run. And I'm running by faith. At the finishing line, I'm gonna see God's face. If you can't help me, brother and sister, you better not stop me. Move out of my way. Don't try to block me. I got a race to run.
Come on, I got a race to run.
I got a race to run. I got a race to run.
How many got a race to run?
I got a race to run. I got a race to run. I got a race to run. I I got a race to run. I got a race to run. And if I finish in time, I'm gonna see God's face. God bless you. Oh, if you can help me, please don't stop me. Hey, move out of my way. Hey, don't try to block me. I got a race to run.